I want to talk to you about getting a greater vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my responsibility as a pastor to, not to entertain you, but to remind you there's a lot of things in this world that are out there to get you. I am to be the shepherd of the flock, to protect you and to keep you from getting caught up in some things that would destroy you. Paul the Apostle received vision from God. You know, eyesight is very important. Very important. I know some folks that are blind, and I know that it's a great handicap. A great handicap. Though Helen Keller said of all the handicaps she had, she said, "I wished I could hear, and I would give up my sight for my hearing." Because if you can't hear, you do not get the inflection and the saying that people are telling you about their love and telling about things of life. And so anyway, Helen Keller says, "I'd rather have my hearing." I don't have hearing, so I'm glad I got my sight. Amen. And I am as deaf as they get if they take my hearing aids out. And I am thankful for those wonderful things that you can stick in your ear, amen. And I can hear, amen. I was at a state penitentiary. I was visiting. I was at a state penitentiary in Wyoming, down Rollins, Wyoming. And I have a dear friend named Terry Ellis. And at that time, Terry Ellis was the chaplain of the whole penitentiary there. And I was going to preach in the high security. This is where people don't get out. This is where killers and everybody are. And we were given the opportunity to use a video. And I videoed in there before I preached. And after we came home and watched on the TV, he says, "See that guy right there? He killed 8 of his family and ate 6 of them." And I was shaking hands with the guy. Boy, that was a blessing, amen. And I don't know if he's licking his lips or whatever. Boy, but he's telling me all this stuff. Well, anyway, when I went in there, he introduced me like this. "Gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you Pastor Shear. Pastor Shear has AIDS." And he walked out. There are 50 men in there. And I said, "Folks, I want you to know I have hearing AIDS." And we had quite a meeting that night, amen. But anyway, some things that you think you see are not what you actually see, amen. So anyway, Paul the Apostle, you read the scripture here, that he gets a vision from God. He, the Bible said in verse 10, after he had seen the vision. Our eyes are very important to us, and what we perceive with our eyes is very important to us. I want to talk to you about a clear vision of our Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I beg you today with our unworthiness to come preach the gospel, we ask you for your power. Lord, you encourage us today to do what we say, to say what we need to say. And we'd be encouragement to our folks in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple months ago, I don't know where I got it. I think it's one of my grandkids, but I got something going on, a virus in my eyes. And good night, I told my eye doctor, it just seemed like there's a film on my eyes. I just can't clear them. And he said, "Well, let me look at it." He said, "Yep, you got something." He called it, and he said, "Here's some drops. Put a drop in it 3 times a day, and it'll go give you 10 days to get away." That's a long time, amen. I love to see. I love my eyes to be. I'm always making sure I clean my glasses, make sure I can see what I can see. When I'm using my scope on my rifle, I want it just as clean and crisp as I can, amen. I like to see. And vision is very important to me, and vision should be very important to you. Sometimes we see things that we're not sure we really understand. I remind the story of the Hutterites that went to town. They'd never been to town before. They went to a great big mall, and this mall had an elevator. They'd never seen an elevator before. And they came, and they were mesmerized by these two shining doors that would open up and shut. They're just amazed by it. And they were standing there, and finally the boy says, his father says, Father, what is that? And his father responded, my son, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I don't know what it is. And while the boy and the father was watching in amazement at how that thing opened up and take people in and close it, here came a well-upholstered old lady that waddled in the moving walls. And it shut. And they watched numbers go up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And waited there for a while. And all of a sudden, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And out walked a beautiful blonde young lady. And his dad looked at his son and whispered quietly, go get your mother. So some things you see are not really what they are, amen. Reminded me of the university professor who was doing his doctorate study on scientific research between animals and humans. And one day he was getting a little jumpy about that, and he had to finish his dissertation on it. And so he thought, you know what, I'm going to try this test at home. I'm going to see what the if the animal's attraction for the owner and the wife's attraction for her husband are the same. And so he locked his wife and the dog in the closet for an hour. I don't advise you to try to experiment at home. I've heard somebody said, oh, no, no, that's not the story. The story was he locked his wife and the dog in a trunk for a day. And when he opened up the trunk, the dog was real happy. He hadn't seen his wife since. That guy's sick, man, I'll tell you what. Vision is everything to us. Now, I'm not just talking about what you see, but may I say what we perceive. Our vision of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important for us. What do you see? I like to ask you Christians today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you really don't know what I'm talking about today. But if you're a Christian today, you have come to the point in your life, you realize you're a sinner. And realize because you're a sinner, you owe a great price, and that price could not be paid only by Jesus Christ, who is the perfect, perfect sacrifice, who died on the cross, rose from on the third day. You invite Him to become your Savior. How do you see the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you see Him as your Jehovah or as your Messiah, the one who has saved you out of sin and promised to give you life eternal? Do you see Him as a Father? Paul the Apostle said we ought to call Him Abba, Father. That was the sweetest, most precious way that a child could call their father. Do you see Him as one who comes alongside? Do you see Him as one who, when you walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Do you have a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, though we have not seen Him? There's nobody in this room has ever seen Jesus Christ. Someday you will if you've accepted Him as Christ as your Savior. But do you see the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that as a helper? Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ as a brother? Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ as one who comes alongside? Do you see the one who comes and says, I can talk to Him at any time? Are you a friend of Jesus Christ? How do you perceive the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I'd hate to lose my vision. I'd really hate to lose my vision. I was talking to a lady the other day who came to help my wife, and she does occupational therapy, and she said, I'm working right now with a man that 12 years ago, the beam out in at the county expo center fell on him, and it blinded him. And she's, I'm working with him now. I've been working with him quite a while. And she said there's quite a difference helping that, because there's also some brain damage and everything else to go along with it. And when that thing came down, it severed his optic nerve. And, boy, I'd hate to lose my vision. I love to see the beautiful white-capped mountains of Montana. I love to see the greens and the blues and the blacks and the reds. I love to see those little birds that fly into my feeders and eat. I love to see the beautiful sparkle of a mother's eye when she gives birth. I love to see the grin of the father who is so proud and thinking he did it all. I love to watch children. I love to watch teenagers. I love to watch them play basketball, and I love to watch them play football, and I love to watch CC. I love to go to the airport, and someone said to me, "Oh, Pastor, you're going to have to stay at the airport." So I said, "It's okay. I like sitting here watching people." There's some crazy stuff out there, man. Some of them keep people. I saw one kid the other day. It looked like he fell in his dad's tackle box. He had so much metal on his face, you know. I just like watching people. I love how kids con their brothers. I saw that yesterday. I love what I would hate to lose my vision. Because, man, that's a big deal. But I would also hate to lose my perception of who I really am and who I really am to serve. I'd hate to lose that. There are some things that happen in our lives that literally take away our vision. Take away my vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Takes literally my perception of who He is. Something happens. Satan is always there to rob me of my joy. He's always there to rob me of my fellowship. He's always there trying to do something. I was reading yesterday in the Bible, and the Bible says about being distracted. Only one time in the Bible talks about and says that distracted. I heard a preacher one time, he says, "You know, I can't hardly get anything done." He said, "I'm always running around trying to put these little forest fires out." And he said, "I can't get to the real job. I just can't get anything done because I'm always trying to get this done and this done and this done and this done and this has to be done. This has to be done." And he became distracted. So I want to make sure that I keep my vision clear. I want to go sometimes to the doctor and say, "Hey, I've got a problem." I admit it. You may have a problem you're unwilling to admit. You may have a problem. Your vision of the Lord Jesus Christ is pretty blurry right now. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know how to perceive the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you perceive the Lord Jesus Christ as a big daddy in heaven that's always giving you stuff, though He does. Some of you perceive the Lord Jesus Christ as a God in heaven with a golden ball bat that every time you do something wrong, He whacks you over the head with it and rolls you down the hill. Some people perceive the Lord God as one who's always punishing. But I'm here to tell you today there's this God in heaven that loves you and He'll love you forever. You may make all the excuses you want, but I'm telling you that most of our problems, you know, Brother Rick, most of my problems is me. I'm the one that creates the most of the problems. Now, of course, I'll always say, "Yeah, I know Satan's after me." Shoot, it did me. Sometimes we give Satan too much credit. This is my stupidity. Well, Satan made me have a flat tire. Maybe a good idea. God tried to tell you a couple of weeks ago you ought to get some new tires for that thing. It reminds me of the fellow that was, he was a really truster in God, and one day the floods came and he climbed up on top of his house and a boat came by and said, "Hey, buddy," he said, "you better get down. The water is getting higher." He said, "No, I'm trusting in Jesus." And he sat on the top of his house. Another boat came by and said, "Hey, Buster, the dam is was about ready to break. You better get off that and get in this boat. He said, "Nah, I'm trusting in Jesus." Helicopter. "Hey, you were down there on the top of the house. Hang on, we'll bring it down." He said, "No, I'm trusting Jesus." And he wakes up and says, "God, why didn't you take care of me?" He said, "Good night. I sent two boats and a helicopter. How many more? How much more do I have to have?" And there's a, and be honest, I know that's pretty funny, but deep down inside of that is truth. That's real truth. So many times God brings it. Hey, there's a problem coming to your life, and God wants you to save you from getting in trouble, maybe with the drugs or maybe with alcohol or something, or with a young lady or a young man, and God puts people in your way to hold you back, and you are so 23. I have a list of things. Number 23 is stupid. 24 is idiot. You are so 23-24 that you... Did you get it? That you will not bail out like Joseph did and lost his coat, but he didn't lose his honor with Potiphar's wife. And he bailed out. He was out of there. Sometimes all you can do is run. Some of you men in the military, you know, they preach, don't get drunk, don't get caught, but they always have their parties, you know. I don't understand it, but that's their... Same with the sheriff's office. When God gives you a chance to run, run! Don't get polluted with this world. You young people are dating. Don't you ever be alone with her or him. Always have somebody there with you. The day that something happens, you're going to wish that it didn't happen. And the embarrassment that comes to your family is going to be greater than if you had had someone with you. "Hello, I'm just trying to help you." Yeah, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about parents who just think that it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. You were never asked to trust your child. You were there. You have been asked by God to protect your child. And what happens on your watch, it's your fault. That's why our laws take up, what is it, 18 years? When you're 18 years old, then you're on your own, but before that, you're not. That's a parental responsibility. Shame on us for allowing that to happen on our watch. So what kind of vision do you have of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you, your vision will change when things happen to you and you have allowed them to happen and all of a sudden you put the problem on God. We just studied in Malachi in our Sunday school lesson, in my Sunday school lesson, and talked about how that, you know, God said, "I love you." And they say, "Wherein have you loved us?" What a terrible claim to God. What a terrible thing to say to God. "Where have you loved us?" And all through, I think there's seven of wherein's in Malachi. And God said, "That's it." Malachi, when you put your pen down, I'm not going to let another prophet write to these Jews for 400 years. You ever get tired of scolding your kids? Do you ever get just tired of saying, "Hey, no, 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 no"? I told my three boys, I said, "What don't you understand about this two-letter word, no? No means no, means no, means no. And no, you're not supposed to." I thought, don't even go there. If I wanted you to think, I would have told you to think. I said, "No." The clearer vision that I get to God is the closer I want to walk to Him and walk by the precepts of the Word of God. The closer I look at God, the closer I look at my Savior, the clearer I get to realize I am a dirty old sinner. Do you ever have things come to you that humble you? I'll be honest with you. I don't need any more, okay? I am trying for my master's in chaplaincy. And so I have to go back a lot of my classes and stuff. And so I wrote to my college and said, I need my transcript. Boy, that was a bummer. When I went to college, I had one number one goal. You know what it was? Football. I didn't go there for anything else. You listen to me? I went there to play football. I ate football. I drank football. I talked football. I dreamed football. I slept with a football. One time I fumbled the football. My coach made me carry my football to class and not put it down while I was in class. No wonder I had such bad grades, amen. Now I know. I used to pray the Lord would come back. Just when I think and say, oh God, please come back. This is not going to be good. So I get the transcript. It's not good. There's some things I cannot use for my master's program at the chapel. Then I get my transcript from other college. 64 hours of straight A's. That's 4 points all the way through. I don't like that one. But there's only two classes I can use. Sure dummied me down reading that thing. I thought, oh man, what was I doing playing football? What was I doing? Being with Marcia. Man, that was worth it. That's bad. That was worth bad grades, amen. But anyway. But my vision should be that I would look at God to see who He really is. I should not be like the children of Israel who came back from Babylon, and while they're coming back, you would think they'd be awful happy to get away from being slaves and come to their own place and have their own lives again. You would think. But they're grumbling and complaining. And Malachi wrote to him, he said, hey, God said, I love you with an unchanging love. And they say, wherein have you loved us? And God said, okay, that's enough. And they totally lost their vision of who God was, didn't they? Let's face it. Vision is everything. We'd hate to lose. Let me pose a question this morning. If you are a Christian, do you have a clear vision of your Savior? Do you know who He is? Or is He just the 911 of your life? God! I can't pay this bill! God, my baby's sick! Dear God, my dad's got cancer. My mama's dying. Is that your vision of God? The big 911 control center? By the way, He is merciful that He will answer that phone. Yes, He will. He will help you in time of need. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always on the job. He said, I will never slumber nor sleep. But who is this Jesus Christ? Who is this Savior? Who is this person we're supposed to have a vision of? If everything goes good, hey, I'm going to church. But boy, you let someone die, and you let someone get the dreaded C word, cancer, or you let somebody that seated you are. Maybe somebody in the church didn't treat you just right, or maybe the preacher didn't wave at you when you were going 65 miles an hour past him the other way. And maybe somebody didn't come to your house, or maybe I had a lady that got so mad at us. A family asked us to come and help her with her yard work. We sent some kids over to the yard work, and she was so mad she quit the church. And said, "Well, if you don't take care of me like you take care of others, well, I don't want no part of your church." We didn't know you needed help. I had people telling me, "Said preacher, how come you didn't come see me in the hospital?" And I say, "Well, there's a HIPAA law now. And people can't call me. You have to be the one to call me, or you have to instruct somebody to call me." So if you're in a hospital and I don't know it, fingers back to you, pal. I'll do everything I can. But I'm telling you what. I don't have... I'm sorry. You may think I know about you, but there are some things I don't know that you need to let me know. So don't cuss the church. And I envision God because He's not taking care of you. It may be because you're number 23 or 24. You're going to get your vocabulary words down here pretty quick. Amen. Mrs. Fair, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in your classroom could remember that? Did you hear them all giggle when I said 23, 24? Yeah. I didn't call you that. I just said numbers. What is my vision of the Lord Jesus Christ? Once a man accepts Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, the Holy Spirit gives him more vision. Or may I say, he opens up his eyes to a greater glorious vision of the things of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Boy, that's a powerful portion of Scripture. I'd take that down. I'd write that down, Ephesians chapter 1, 8, and I'd hang on to that. And I'd go back when the problems come, a heartache come, I'd say, "Now, wait a minute, Lord. You said you'd open my eyes to this thing." Hey, how many of you know how to raise kids? Raise your hand. If you raise your hand, you're a liar. You know how to raise kids. I worked at it with my kids. Still don't know how to do it. One guy says, "Man, you got some good kids." I said, "Yeah, if you got good kids to raise, you got good kids." Think of that. I talked to one guy, he said, "Yeah, I raised a good boy. One out of four ain't bad." Where do I find out how to raise my kids? God said, "I'll open your eyes. I'll give you Scripture. I'll teach you how you can raise your child for God." Think I caught ready to fall? I thought. I was all that for a little bit. These bifocals, they're bad sometimes. God gives you a portion. God gives you Scripture after Scripture how to raise your child. How do I raise my child? I want to raise my child with admonition of the Lord. Admonishing from God. God said, "This is how you do it." Some of you are afraid to believe God. And so you go to Dr. Quack or Dr. Spock and you forget about Dr. Spank, you know. And you try and you get all these books and read all these books. And some of you haven't even read any books. And try to get these ideas. Hey, what kind of vision do you have of your Lord? Does He love you? Does He want you to raise your kids right and properly? Does He want your children to abstain from all appearances of evil? Then put some clothes on them little Jezebels. Fix them up. Clean them up. I guarantee that guy right there's got three boys. And this guy right here's got three boys. And that guy way in the back got three boys. They want you to have your little girls dressed up. Because we don't want our little boys to lusting after your little girls. You understand what I'm talking about? Some of you girls ought to figure that one out too. What's your vision of God? Does God see you? Are you open to God? Yeah, God said, you're naked to me. In other words, you cannot hide anything that you do or you say, and get this. He knows your thoughts are far off. Even what you're thinking, God knows. Now, that's the blessing thing about that is that Satan does not know what you're thinking. But God does. He knows what you're thinking. Think right now, you know, preacher, it's 12:07 and the Golden Corral is going to get pretty clouded. God knows what you're thinking. Man, I've had a hard night. I need to, well, stop watching the stinking video at night and go to bed and get ready for church today. You say, I ain't come for that. Well, I figure while you're here, I might as well give it to you. Won't cost you a quarter. Don't forget to pay me when you leave. What is my vision of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do I see him? Do I see him as a lover of me? As a father who loves his children? Do I see him as a Savior whose tears come down his eyes when he sees me walking away from him? That when I disappoint him, I was talking to him. I'll say this now. I wouldn't say it when my wife was. But my father-in-law said, let me tell you about that girl you married. Not one time did she ever give an opportunity for people to talk about me. She always did what you're supposed to do. Boy, how'd you like a kid like that? How'd you like kids like that? You know what? I said to my wife, I came home and I said, Marcia, I said, your daddy told me something. We're out golfing. And he says, you know, Sheldon, you got the pick of the litter. Oh, man, this is unreal. Sorry, Barb and Debbie. And he said this. And I said, honey, your dad just told me that. What's the deal? And she said, I never wanted to embarrass my daddy because I loved him so much. Might be a good idea, some of you deacons' kids and preachers' kids would live that way and say, you know, I don't want to embarrass my dad's ministry or ruin it. That's what she said. I like that. May we be very careful we walk. May we be very careful that we envision God the way we should envision him, as a God who loves us and cares for us and will not forsake us. He will not let us go through the valley of the shadow of death without him being with us. And that we have this vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that he is there for us at all times, whether night or day, early morning or late at night. He's there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forgive us. I mean, forsake us, but he'll always forgive us. And may we have the clear vision to know that he watches us. Therefore, I'm going to be very careful how I act. And I would probably say to you, the greater thing is how I react. Reaction is going down the road and some idiot will not get up to speed or have their lights on, never turn them off. They're turning lights. That's reaction. And many of you react. Years ago, Dr. Jack Howell was going to church and he noticed that right on his bumper, just on his bumper, he would not go a mile over the speed limit or a mile under the speed limit. Finally, he got to church and looked back, and here it was one of his guys that worked for him. And he said, hey, what in the world are you doing? He said, man, he said, preacher, I didn't know that was you. He said, I thought it was an old man. Get out of my way, I'm going to be late for work. How do you perceive the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you vision him? Do you vision him as a God who loves you so much and gave his life for you, sacrificed everything he had so you go to heaven someday? So how are you going to treat him? How are you going to treat your Savior, your Messiah, your Jehovah? How are you going to treat him? You're just going to come to church on Sunday and say, well, that's, I got my duty done. I'm all done. Got Sunday morning over. Whew! Done with that. Now I can go back to living the way I'm going to just live. Or say, you know what, I'm going to glorify my Heavenly Father, because if I have a greater vision, if I have a better vision of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that He knows everything about me. Hey kids, you're driving down the road and you got Dad and Mom in the back seat. How are you going to drive? You're sitting in the car with Mom and Dad. And there, and you're in the back seat. How's your talk? You know, if you say anything is wrong, your dad will pull that car over and jack slap you tomorrow, amen. Because he is going to demand that you live right and talk right. How's your vision of the Lord Jesus Christ when you're texting? You know, you can say some pretty mean things on texting. I have a real hard time texting because I can't see your face. I don't know how you're feeling. What, I don't know where you're at. I'm not sure. I may take one text and respond, but I'll tell you what, after the second text, you're getting a call. Hey, how you doing? What can I help you with? Don't leave your garbage to me. So it seems like sometimes. And I go, wah. Thank you very much. If I could ask you today, may I see your cell phones? Open it up. Let me read your text. How are they? Do you know what? If you envision and you understand your Heavenly Father, He knows what you wrote there, and will you say, Lord, here. The Bible said everything we do is to glorify our Heavenly Father. Does that glorify Jesus? Well, you got a wrong vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? Let's get our vision on the Lord. I'll tell you what, it'll change her to the Baptist church. I'm not asking you to change a whole bunch of churches. I'm just saying we all change our church. I think we need to come back to God and say, you know what? This is where we should be. This is what we should be doing. This is how we should be thinking. I'm glad my wife's agreeing with me. It's about the only one out here. Amen. That's right, Miss Sister Shear. It's true and you know it. How do you see Jesus? Or don't you? Or you just think you're just all by yourself? Wrong answer. Whether you like it or not, He sees everything. But He said, how can you see everything? He sees everything. Is He omniscient? He's all-knowing. He created you. I figure He knows about you. He can create a magnificent planet and a universe. In 6 days, I think He can take care of your little problems. How big is God? Father in heaven, I pray You just speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, get a greater vision of You. Lord, when You came to Paul the apostle and said, go, there's a man over in Macedonia that says, come and help us. The Bible said he immediately endeavored to go. Lord, even today when God is speaking to our hearts, may we endeavor to do what we should be doing. Help us not to waste our time. And may I say waste your time, Lord. Lord, there are people that need to be saved. There are people that need to walk with You. There are people that need to have a Father in heaven that loves them and cares for them. And You're there, but they don't know it. It's our responsibility to tell them. So, Lord, I pray today. I pray, Lord Jesus, there be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven. I pray today that You would speak to their hearts and help them to come to Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't get it. I don't understand that. My friend, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to him. How simple is that? What a privilege to know the great Savior who says, I will save you if you believe in me, if you trust in me, if you have faith in me. Pretty simple, isn't it? I've studied a lot of world religions. And boy, there's some really toughies. And you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you got to go here, and you got to go there, and you can't stay there, and you got to be over here, and this time and that time. No, Jesus says, for whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. So simple. But Satan has blinded the eyes of a lot of people, because we people are so prideful that we want to do something to get something from God. You don't have to get something from God. You don't have to do anything to get something from God. God said, hey, I came to seek and to save that wolf lost. I don't seek him. He sought me out. And he found me. A little old 14-year-old junior high boy. And showed me that the word of God was truth. And show me that salvation is free. And free indeed. And all I had to do is step out. All I had to do is trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today. Let's all stand. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I want to know that today. Why don't you come and let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that day you go to heaven. Why don't you get a greater vision of the Lord Jesus Christ today in that he is my Savior. Are you saved? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? You say, preacher, I'm not sure of that. Why don't you take care of that today? You heard today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you take care of that? Oh my, what Jesus has done for you. Just get a little wet. Some people just say, that's a big sacrifice. Yeah, right. Here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?